Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, it's pretty well established that there is a connection between mental health difficulties and imprisonment, in that a lot of people in our prisons have such difficulties, but is prison the best place for them? Professor Brendan Kelly from Trinity College has co-authored a piece about this in today's Examiner. Afternoon, Brendan.
Good afternoon, Sean.
If somebody has mental health difficulties and they're committed to prison, what happens to them?
Well, firstly, it is not a good place for a person with a mental health problem, clearly. It is not a therapeutic environment. And what Professor Gautam Gulati and myself are concerned about is large numbers of people with mental illness are ending up in our prisons for very minor offences, you know, offences for which other people without a mental condition would not end up in prison. And of course, prison is not a therapeutic place. It's not a place where recovery or healing is very easy. There are clinical staff and psychologists who work very hard, but prison is simply not a place to be if you are mentally ill.
Yeah. And so when you say minor offences, what kind of minor offences?
Well, we're very commonly talking about public order offences, which are offences. And I do want to be clear, Sean, that I am not saying people should get off or, you know, just get off scot-free when they might have offended. What I am saying, though, is sometimes the fact people end up in prison is attributable not to their offence as such, but the fact that they are ill or they're unable to give an account of themselves, unable to provide an address in order to be summoned back to court. Everyone does need to appear in court and account for their actions. But for a person with mental illness, spending that interim period in prison is not helpful, and it's certainly not therapeutic for them.
And would it be typically the case that that a judge would order a report if someone is thought to have mental health difficulties, or can they just slip through the cracks?
Oh, well, judges do order reports all the time when that is possible. But sometimes the offences, the stays in prison are quite short, sometimes they're quite long, and circumstances differ enormously. Of course, the other concern here is to do with reoffending. So we know that people with mental illness who end up in prison, the chances of reoffending are much higher than if they end up, say, being treated in the community or being treated in a regular inpatient unit. So prison doesn't help in terms of treatment. It doesn't help in terms of reoffending. And despite the best efforts of some really, really dedicated prison staff, it can also lead to homelessness, which causes further social exclusion in the end.
Mm. But in terms of the facilities available within prisons, and you've said a couple of times now that they're very hardworking people, and I'm sure they are, but are the resources themselves fairly sparse?
Oh, well, they can be very sparse indeed. But one of the best resources we could invest in are called diversion schemes, which is where you actively identify at the time of offence or committal someone with a mental illness who does not need to be in prison for the purpose of their offence, and direct them to psychiatric care, maybe community care or care in a hospital, while they're awaiting appearing in court. So these are called court diversion schemes. We have some of them in Ireland, but we don't have enough. The resource simply isn't there. And, you know, to emphasise again, everyone needs to appear in court if they might have offended. Mental illness, if present, might or might not be relevant. But the point we're making is there needs to be reasonable accommodation to meet people's mental health needs so they recover, and also so they give a good account of themselves in court, and also that we can reduce the risk of reoffending in the future.
One imagines, though, that this is part of a larger piece where mental health facilities aren't sufficient, whether inside or outside prison. Probably a lot of people, one could argue, wouldn't have ended up in court at all if there had been sufficient facilities on the outside.
Oh, indeed. I mean, at the level of the population, Sean, the proportion of offending due to mental illness is very, very low. We know that it's constantly overstated. But what you say is true. And we're particularly deficient in Ireland in terms of what we call psychiatric intensive care beds, where there were many policies saying we needed more intensive care beds for severe mental illness. I'd be talking about treatment-resistant schizophrenia and similar. But we do have the third lowest number of psychiatric beds per head of population in the EU. So we're starting from a very low baseline here. So what you say is true. We should emphasize voluntary care in the community for better mental health in general, but also some more inpatient beds for people who are very unwell in order to prevent certain offences in the first place.
At the same time, though, there are people with mental health difficulties who commit more serious crimes and obviously should go to prison. What should happen with those people?
Well, if someone commits a serious crime or they have a mental illness, it might or might not be relevant. So that needs to be thrashed out in court. And if it is deemed to be relevant and they get a prison sentence, they can be treated in they can be moved to the National Inpatient Forensic Psychiatry Facility and they can get treatment that way. But just to emphasise again, Sean, even at that level, the forensic inpatient beds in Ireland per head of population are among the lowest in Europe. So there tends to be quite a waiting list, even for people in prison who are convicted and require that kind of psychiatric treatment. And again, those people might be serving sentences, so there's no question of people sort of just getting off scot-free here. But people, even those who are sentenced, do have a right to mental health care. And again, our facilities for that are, they're being worked as hard as the staff possibly can, but there simply isn't enough.
Yeah. Why is that? I mean, is it just of a piece with the chronic state of our health service in general, or is there something specifically wrong with the way we provide mental health services?
Well, in recent decades, Sean, I've seen a really welcome increased discussion about mental health and mental health difficulties, and that is very welcome. But we are still in denial about the existence of serious mental illness and the requirement for inpatient treatment sometimes for conditions such as severe bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. So while discussing anxiety and mild depression and, improving mental health through lifestyle is very important for most people, we need to remember there is another side to this, which is serious mental illness, something like schizophrenia, severe depression, bipolar disorder. And sometimes in discussions about mental health and mental health services, that end of the spectrum is a little bit ignored. And I think that's what we're seeing with the failure to increase our inpatient care and some of our community mental health teams, and particularly the forensic beds, to meet the needs of this population.
Yeah. Why is the more serious end of it ignored, do you think?
Oh, this is a very human desire not to know, or a lot sort of kind of pushing out of our awareness how severe these conditions can become. And this contributes to the stigma surrounding serious mental illness. And I know there are many families out there listening now and people with serious mental illness who feel that their situation is being ignored. In other words, it's difficult for them to access care, particularly in the severe episodes of mental illness, which, should I add, Sean, is very treatable if people can access the care they need. And sometimes that is inpatient care, and sometimes that needs to be care under mental health legislation where the person loses the capacity to make their own decisions. And this is a part of the mental health spectrum we tend to be reluctant to talk about because we feel anxious about it and we worry, what if this could happen to me? So we tend to push it from awareness. And that is something, that is the last stigma, if you like, that we need to address in relation to mental health and illness.
The level of serious mental health issues in Ireland, has that gone up, or were perhaps just a bit more aware of it?
We're more aware of it. The rate of serious mental illness is remarkably stable over time and stable across countries. We are more aware of mild and moderate mental health issues, but the rate of serious mental illness tends to be fairly steady. I guess we are a little more aware of it now, but not as much as we should be. And it is again worth saying that the proportion of crime and offending attributable to serious mental illness is actually very low. And people with serious mental illness are, they're more than double as likely to be a victim of crime compared to a person without serious mental illness, owing to all kinds of social vulnerability. So we're looking at quite a complicated population. And I guess what Professor Galati and myself were keen to point out is that when these people are committed to prison, it is unhelpful, but maybe it's an opportunity where we can intervene, redirect people and put them on a healthier pathway into the future.
Because I imagine if you have mental health issues, you're convicted of a crime, you go into prison. As you say, as you put it, it's not helpful, but every chance is it will make you worse.
Oh, it will make you worse. Moreover, in prison hierarchies, a person with mental illness is usually at the very bottom of the hierarchy. They're often subject to harassment and abuse. And this is despite the best efforts of prison officers and others who do their best to manage these environments. But, you know, prison is toxic if you have mental illness. There's no other way of putting it. And it's not a way to access care necessarily, because the resources are so strapped across our prisons. And more often than not, it is a pathway into homelessness rather than a way of addressing that. So we do have prison social workers who work incredibly well and incredibly hard to find placements for prisoners after they are released. But it's frankly very difficult to do, especially now with the rental market the way it is. So, you know, prison is in all ways, medically, psychiatrically, socially, very disadvantageous for people with mental illness. And of course, there is a rate of self-harm in prison higher than the general population as well.
Brendan, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Brendan Kelly there, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin, and the piece that Brendan co-authored is in today's Examiner. A few comments on that. One person says, we like prison as a solution for these minor crimes because it's an easy out of sight, out of mind for us. The authorities in this country seem almost allergic to having nuanced solutions or thoughts about anything. It's almost like there are various services there, but they're not joined up to each other. It often strikes me as part of the problem. What's the threshold for these diversion schemes, though, that Brendan was referring to? If they committed violent crime, should they be going down that route? What about theft or drug dealing? I don't know off the top of my head. I would imagine it would probably lean towards the more minor crimes, the public disturbance kind of crimes, rather than those more serious crimes. Mike and Claire says, yet another do-gooder. That is, sorry, Mike, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but isn't that a reflection of the way society has turned, that the description of do-gooder, somebody who wants to do good, is a term of abuse now? So if we have people on who is a do-badder, that's a good thing. I'm confused. Mike and Claire, anyway, goes on to say, not a word about the victim. Well, in many of the cases that Brendan is talking about, there is no victim, such as in public order offences, which it seems, as Brendan was saying, a lot of people with mental health issues are arrested kind of in that kind of area. A lot of them are suffering from homelessness as well. Another text that says, the mental health services are poor for these people because people don't care about each other, let alone criminals. Gosh, you'd hope that isn't the case. You'd hope there's still a bit of kindness among us all.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.